This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rochester, New York is Festival Town, USA.
Oh, yeah, we're slammed.
And it feels like Tommy will show up for anything.
Mm.
But a festival over the weekend, one that most folks are not familiar with,
yeah,
shows us there are certain things you need to have to bring people from all over the greater Rochester area.
Oh, like a little festival juice.
You got it. And there's one big reason why this festival and others like it won't ever work on a bigger scale.
Oh, it can't grow.
Yeah. All right. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So we should be gearing up for Park Ave Fest.
Yeah.
Which traditionally was the last big festival of the year in Rochester. We haven't seen it since COVID. It looks like it's gone forever.
Gone.
And as big a story, Kimmy, as that was when it first happened, it doesn't seem like people really miss it at all.
I think maybe they did initially, but I guess once you get used to not having it, you know, you kind of forget about it.
No, plus it's like $15 to park, which Tommy wasn't going to stand
no.
for. That, however, the Park Ave ending has not stopped some other places in the city to jump in and take advantage of the void.
So what cropped up?
On Saturday, people gathered for South Wedge Fest.
So it's a one-day festival?
Yes. Guess where that is?
Probably close to the Wedge.
South
Wedge,
yes. It was in the South Wedge, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So have either of you ever heard of South Wedge Fest?
No.
I had no idea this was a thing until I saw the story.
I mean, it's a cute little neighborhood to do it in.
Oh, I love the South Wedge.
It's turned very hipster.
Absolutely.
You'd fit right in with that hat.
It's always been, what?
It's just a regular hat. I mean, it's just got history to it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you not appreciate the Negro Leagues and what they did for this country?
It doesn't say that.
Oh, no, it does. It's the first Negro League team in American history.
Well, I didn't even know what animal that is.
It's an elephant. It's a Denver Elephants.
It's a what elephant?
Denver Elephants was the name of the team. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
How does a Denver elephant become part of the baseball?
What?
I don't know.
Oh, you're talking, you got
I don't know if I can say that word right.
You got awfully uncomfortable all of a sudden.
I don't use that word.
Could have just kept your mouth shut.
I don't use that word.
Oh, you're going to have that debate? Why don't you go talk to the Negro League Museum in Kansas City?
I was talking about elephants.
Anywho,
yes.
So Kimmy, it seems like this is not the first time for the South Wedge Fest, because in the story on 10NBC, it says it's an annual event.
Okay.
And the story on 10NBC describes South Wedge Fest as celebrating local art, music, food, and small business.
So it's Park Ave in a
similar,
smaller scale?
Kind of.
Oh.
So the big event, it seems, in South Wedge Fest is the pet parade, where they have categories for best dressed, most energetic, and most owner lookalike.
Which, okay, cute.
Again, always makes me laugh because you don't want to win the last one.
Yes.
Hey, here's a trophy for insulting you to your face. You look like a dog.
Yes.
So there are lots of videos and pictures of South Wedge Fest, and it looks like everybody had a blast. Mm. But it was small, Tommy.
So it's almost like for the neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah.
Neighborhood festival.
And here's the thing. It will always be small. Because this has something going on that will keep it from becoming a premier Rochester festival.
So what's holding it back?
South Wedge, the South Wedge, is too weird.
Weird?
It's too weird?
Folks that live down there like it that way.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't want their little festival to blow up and be a replacement for Park Ave, but the South Wedge Fest and the South Wedge area might be proof that in Festival Town, USA, there are a few things that are necessary for a festival to blow up.
Right.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Tommy, what are the prime premier festivals in Rochester?
First of all, what do you need?
Or? No, I'm saying what are they?
Well, you start out with Lilac.
Bang.
Then you go Cornhill.
Bang.
Park Ave's gone. Fairport's got two.
Yeah, that's true.
I would make Fairport Canal Days. That's the new one.
Yeah.
But they got two. Premiere. But they also had the music fest that blew up over the years.
Okay, you can't see me, but I'm doing the J.O.
But it got bigger.
It's huge.
To your point,
Yeah, let me do it for the cameras. There you go.
They brought in a Jerry Garcia double cover band.
Double cover? Well, yeah. That's how big he got at the end. You needed two covers to get him.
No, but I would say Fairport probably. Yeah, and that's it.
Let's go Canales.
Oh, and Clothesline, which you guys don't like.
Jazz Fest, Cornhill, Lilac, and you forgot about Fringe Fest, which is blown up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think of those as like neighborhood festivals.
You don't
those
think are of Fringe like, Fest is fest?
No, but it's not like in a neighborhood. Like it
okay,
grew.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's like
I know what you're saying. It's not like
it's a
arts.
Corporate entity. I
yeah,
get what you're
yeah, yeah.
Look, all of the festivals are unique that we just named, but they all have one thing in common. They go out of their way to make sure they're not too weird. For example, jazz, Tommy, is not the most popular music in the world.
No, so that's why you see Marshall Tucker walking around.
Exactly, right? Like, you have some of the greatest jazz musicians on the planet here in Rochester playing for a room of 30 people.
They couldn't get arrested.
Meanwhile, Los Lonely Boys, James Brown, Smash Mouth, Al Green, Elvis Costello, Earth, Wind & Fire, Greg Allman, Sheryl Crow, Jeff Goldblum.
Hey, don't forget about Woody.
Yeah, we should. Let's forget about Woody. But those people bring folks out to the festival. Yeah. And if they went with a straight jazz festival, the festival would be too weird for the average person.
All right.
Cornhill should be weird. It's a folk art festival with that stuff being sold out of tents. But again, the folks who do Cornhill, they have concerts in their front lawn. Tom Wall's food truck is next to the pizza
food
guy.
Food is key.
Right?
You got to have the right food.
But they pull back the strange, even though Cornhill, the idea of Cornhill Arts Festival, is a strange idea.
Yeah, I'm not going to walk around eating squid on a stick.
Bingo. But you would want that.
Squid on a stick?
Yeah, you would eat squid on a stick.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it's you thing.
But you wouldn't.
Probably not.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is, if you want the community to come out in droves to your festival, there is a delicate equation. It has to be weird enough where people go, ooh, I don't get this every day and I want to check this out. Mm. But it has to be normal enough that when the average person gets there, they don't feel like an outsider.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
All right.
Is that a fair assessment, Kay?
It has to be palatable.
Yes. Mm. Yes. I have to feel comfortable, but I need to be awed at the same time.
But I guess my question then would be, how did the Park Ave Fest start out? Like, did that start off a little weird? Because, I mean, you talk about Tommy going there back in the day, and there were, like, people with, like, weird animals on their shoulders.
But it was also, like, it had a lot of good food. Mm-hmm. And when I first moved here, you could drink, you could walk around with booze. It was kind of like what East End was.
Sure, yeah.
And so it was very accessible to everybody. And it was also a place everybody was familiar with.
Good call.
Like, everybody kind of had been down to Park Avenue. A lot of
South Wedge is like, if you've never been, you don't know, like, you couldn't even probably point to it on, like, a little map because you don't really know where it starts and stops.
Right. And when I first moved here, it wasn't a nice place. Mm. People didn't go down there. It was kind of a dump.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it got nice as people moved in there and put money into it, but nobody went down there.
Look, I know.
It was raggedy. Well,
when I came of age, it's when, like, all the bars were down there and we had a good time. But here's the thing. I don't trust your diagnosis of a dump based on other places you think are dumps.
What do I call a dump?
You call everywhere that's not Pittsburgh a dump.
I was going to say, because, like, when we were looking at houses, we were completely priced out of the South Wedge area. Like, those houses
money went in.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's changing the way things have always been in the South Wedge. But, look, if South Wedge makes the necessary adjustments to bring outsiders in, like, if that's what they want for their South Wedge Fest, well, then it's not Southwest anymore.
Yeah.
Or South Wedge anymore, excuse me. Right? Like,
it loses its charm.
Exactly. South Wedge is weird. It's a weird place. Yeah. They got great, unique businesses that you won't find anywhere else, but they're weird in a good way, but it's weird. Like, one of their premier bar, or at least the one everybody knows them for, is Lux Lounge. Mm-hmm. It is the weirdest bar in Rochester. I love Lux. I drank a ton at Lux when I was a kid, but if you wouldn't walk in with my dad and be like, let's go grab a beer.
So it's like a hipster bar.
I don't even know how to describe it.
Didn't they do like weird craft cocktails?
They welcome
and stuff
all
like that?
Walks of life. You know what I mean?
And probably. Yeah. So, well, no, like when I was a kid, they were famous for their Pabst Schmear. It was $1.50, Pabst Blue Ribbon, and a shot of well whiskey.
Oh, all right.
It was awesome.
Wow.
But, like, you know, Kimmy's right. Like, when you walk into Lux, you do not know
what you're going to get. You never know. Yeah, like, the crowd is never the same, I think, from day to day.
You'll get a table of guys dressed in completely goth outfits. Another table of guys that are just, like, straight up punk mohawk dudes. Five guys that just finished their softball game while a woman is playing that weird instrument where you play with a bow and it's, like, attached to a string and then that string is in, like, a seashell. You're laughing like I'm kidding. That's exactly, I mean, describe Lux better than that.
Right.
But that's what the South Wedge is supposed to be, and that's why my mom is not going to South Wedge Fest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not mom approved.
But that's what's funny, too, is like all the shops out there are mom approved.
It is, yeah.
Like, it's like, here's a little craft shop that like only sells yarn that's like, you know, fairly traded from other countries. And here's a ice cream place that hand makes their ice cream out of fat from a gerbil that was raised responsibly. Like, it's like the weirdest stuff. No?
Right.
When's the last time you were in the South Wedge?
God. 20 years ago? What am I going down there for?
But you haven't been in the South Wedge in 20 years?
Why? Why would I go down there?
But I don't think he's unique in that. Because I don't, I like,
it was
you
never
know,
a destination.
You live, like, okay. I live downtown, so I go, you know, because it's not far from me. But I don't know how many people are coming into the city to go to the South Wedge.
There was
area.
Nothing there
like,
for
I guess
years.
There are a few bars that, you know.
Beer parks there?
Yeah, that's true. That's one.
Swillburgers there.
So that blew up.
That's like the Swillburg neighborhood, technically.
Another place that was 30 years ago was a crap hole.
It was a church. Nice.
Hey, do your church better. This is the way you treat God in the South Wedge?
All right. Tell me if I'm wrong, 252-WCMF, and as a lifelong Rochesterian, I'm ashamed. Right. I always thought Swillburg was a smaller part of the South Wedge.
They touch each other.
Okay, I'm not trusting you.
I don't know, because I know people that bought houses in Swillburg, and they call it the Swillburg neighborhood, but you could be right. I don't know. I know they're close by, obviously, but I think people kind of say they're two different things.
Well, okay.
I don't know.
I feel stupid.
All right.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about South Wedge Fest. It was on Saturday, and it was fun. It looked awesome, but it's never going to be anything like, not that they want to be, a big festival. Yeah. Because we have figured out, to have a festival that is wildly successful, it has to be weird enough where people are intrigued, but normal enough where they don't feel uncomfortable when they're walking around. And when I say uncomfortable, just stuff they're not used to seeing. You know, Kimmy, you brought up Tommy talking about the guys with, like, the monkeys and the alligators at Park FS?
Yeah, the snake guy, parrot guy.
They were out of the way. Like, those were unique people. Everybody else, you looked around and you could look at somebody else and be like, yeah, look at that weird monkey, right? Right? Where if, there might be 17 monkey owners walking around the South Wedge.
Yes.
I think the other thing that Park Ave had going for it, whether you loved it or hated it, was like that party atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, I don't know how many... How many people in the South Wedge are renters versus homeowners, where you may not get as big of a, it's a weekend to party and go to the festival.
But I never looked at people like, okay, Park Ave is the place you move to, whether you buy a house or rent, to go out and drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never looked at social. South Wedge as that neighborhood.
Right. And that's why maybe a festival like never gets that big there because of, the lack of interest from the people around it, I guess.
I get what you're saying. Tommy, people are now upset with you for your South Wedge take.
What did they say?
Well, Chrissy says, Tommy needs to go to the South Wedge for Sushi 585.
What the hell's that?
It sounds like a sushi restaurant, dumbass. What else would it be?
I got five sushi restaurants.
Sushi?
Is
sushi like sushi? Are you going to take sushi to have sushi?
Yes.
Oh, sushi Q. Sushi for you.
I got sushi in my own neighborhood.
Okay, okay. What an old man take.
But I do.
I'm going to drive past five sushi places for a place that might be better sushi.
And I'm sure they got great restaurants down there.
They do.
But I got my own restaurants.
There was a joint we just went to that was good. It sounded like a candy bar.
Crisp?
That's the one. Thank you.
That's good. Yeah,
where is that?
I've been there.
It's in the South Wedge.
Is this one of your hipster chicken joints?
Oh, no. My God. They had chicken, but no.
What do they serve?
Everything. It's like an American restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's every restaurant. Yeah. I went to the Chinese joint. Yeah, American restaurant with Chinese people.
And he drove. No, they're what? Show me the Chinese restaurant with American people, and I will avoid that restaurant.
No, but they're American people, though.
What?
They probably came to this country and made something of
themselves. Yeah, no, again, he's backed himself into saying something borderline offensive that he's now trying
to
run away from.
Not offensive. I love the egg roll. And the spring roll.
Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No one wants to do jury duty.
No.
It's a massive pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Totally screws up your life. It's the worst part. The worst part is it pays you almost nothing.
Yeah.
That last part, though, could be changing. And if it changed enough, there would have to be an amount where you'd actually be excited to get that letter in the mail. Right?
Okay.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So right now, if you are called for jury duty in New York State, you get paid $40 a day.
That's sweet 40.
By the way, that's only if you make less than $40 a day from your salary job, because if you are salaried and you make more than $40 a day, you get nothing and you like it. But New York State is looking to make a change. Mm. That $40 a day, Tommy, was set back in 1998.
All right. That's when $40 was $40.
You ain't kidding. A lot has changed.
Mm-hmm.
There's currently a bill in the state assembly that would raise financial compensation for daily jury duty. And if it passes, and the governor signs it, you'll get paid $72 a day.
Kind of like what $40 was when, was it 1998?
Actually, could we check what $40 with inflation would be today? Because I bet you it's still less.
In what year?
1998.
Okay.
Also, $72 a day would still be less than $10 an hour in most cases.
Right. So you're, yeah.
Two-thirds of what minimum wage is paid by the state of New York. Does $72 a day, Tommy, get you excited to do jury duty? No, it does not. Okay. Kimmy, are you excited to do jury duty for $72 a day?
No.
No, Kimmy's out too.
And I think, is it, do you only get paid if you don't have a job?
That's literally what, okay, you make fun of Tommy.
Sorry,
I literally just said that out loud.
She's very busy.
Right. She was looking me right in the face.
I was looking me right in the face. I have no excuse.
You just mulled yourself. All right. So the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Here is my question.
What's that?
What amount per day would you have to get paid where you jump out of bed to be a jury duty member? 252-WCMF, 252-9263.
Yeah, you don't know how long you're going to be there, so you can't really like say it's this amount of time, like this many hours.
It's a big mystery.
Yeah.
Because I always freak out when I watch like that OJ documentary and I realize how long those people were on that jury. I go, how are they not bankrupt? I mean, like, how did they hold on to, like, if you owned your own business?
Yeah, good question.
Right. Who ran your business and your family? Does
that get factored in, though, when there's choosing juries for long time?
I don't know.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Kimmy, what is $40 worth now from 1998?
$77.
Oh, wow. That Tommy nailed it.
So it's nothing.
Still $5 short.
Yes.
Okay, so like being on a jury, you're right, Kimmy. It's a big mystery how long you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. But jury duty is not a hard job.
No, but it's just a lot of waiting around.
It's time consuming.
Boring, yes.
Like just to even get selected, like that day, like the process takes forever.
Yeah. And unless you could see that for like some groundbreaking or headlining grabbing case, I mean, you're just listening to people drone on and on and on. And that's even if, like you said, you get in the room, because there are those times you get put in the back room for 8 hours and you never get called in the first place. Kimmy, how much would you have to make per day where you'd be excited to jump out of bed and go to jury duty?
maybe like $200.
$200 a day.
Yeah.
It's a little high, honey.
Wait, you think that's high?
I was thinking 100.
What, you do it for 100?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, I mean, listen, you're not going to make
money. I mean, you're asking
money.
What would I be excited about, so I'm giving you the number I'd be excited about.
I mean, 100 would get the job done.
I love how you're excited. You know, that would make you excited. So $15 an hour. Let's say you worked 8 hours, right? Mm-hmm. So $15 an hour times 8, an 8-hour workday tax-free, is $120. You're excited about a less than minimum wage job. That you could have named any number you wanted.
Day.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
How about under the table?
No, they're gonna. Do they take taxes out for jury duty stuff?
I mean, it's income.
Oh, but I thought it was under a certain. Doesn't matter.
If you got $600 or more, I think they hit you up.
All right, here's my hard negotiation. I won't take $72, but I'll take $100.
$100.
Do you think people hate jury duty because of the lack of pay, or because they hate the actual job?
All right, let me tell you something. They hate the actual having to go and do it.
Why?
And it's been like that since day one. And I don't want to hear about the, you know, black people wanted to do jury duty. I've been on this planet for 65 years. Nobody likes doing jury duty, even when they've, like, I can remember my parents bitching guys at work.
Well, yeah, your dad sucked, and you work with a bunch of degenerates, though. So
but he thought he was a fine American, you know, America first, blah, blah, blah. I don't have jury duty, but you can lock him up and fry him for all I care. You know what I mean? Nobody is ever, like, doing it.
So it ain't the pay. It's just the process of being on a jury.
And they've never changed it.
Well, why would you?
No, I mean, there's
got to
be. The
criminal justice system is working so well. Why would you change it?
There's got to be a better way of doing juries.
You want to change the Constitution.
No, but how we select people to sit and do it.
Give me an example.
Like, it would almost be like if that was a professional job.
Okay, so that idea has come up. Professional jurors, people who get paid full time to sit in a courtroom and hear arguments all day long. And remember when I said you want to change the Constitution, and you were like, "No, I'm not professional jurors."
What's in the Constitution about doing jury duty?
Well, it's a jury of your peers,
right? It doesn't say who.
Yes, your peers.
All right, get a couple of peers and let's do this thing.
Okay. So the argument for professional jurors, that would be your full-time job.
Yeah, it'd be like a government job.
The argument for it is they'd always be available.
Mm-hmm.
They would know how the system works better than the rest of us, which would make for easier verdicts and less gridlock.
And you get a cross-section of people, so you can't say, well, you're all on one side or the other side.
Okay, how do you know?
You interview them. It's like a job interview.
Okay. So you're going to interview them based on their opinions and expect them to be completely open and honest when they want to get a job.
You can go through their Facebook. You can go through all their social media.
Okay.
I mean, you would have to be open to exposing yourself. if you want this gig.
Okay.
And by the way, you get great benefits.
I love how with the job that doesn't exist, you're now getting great benefits.
Well, if it's a government job, okay. It would have great benefits.
You realize it would cost more money to do that than what they're doing now, right?
Yeah, but at least you would get it done. I mean, right now, the amount of tracking down and having to get people in and the mailers they send out.
Sure.
And people's excuses.
I mean, it seems like, though, they kind of have that down to a science, right? Every time you go, it's the same. It's something they do every day.
It is one of the most efficient things the government does. In, out, bing, bang, boom. Here's your problem with professional jurors, stupid.
Right.
Again, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about how the state of New York is looking to raise what you'll get for jury duty, $40 a day to $72 a day. Still sucks. Mm. You wouldn't be suspicious of people who would want that job.
No. I mean, they're interested in the criminal system, and they've watched enough Law and Order, they kind of got it.
Okay, that doesn't seem like a problem.
I'll tell you something else. When you go there now, so I just did it last year, right?
Yeah.
So when you sit there, they get you all in that room, and the first thing they do is anybody that can't, they'll tell you how long they think it's going to be.
Sure.
Who can't do it?
Yeah.
You have to walk up to the judge.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then you have to explain it with the two attorneys.
Yeah.
It took all morning just to get, you would eliminate all that. You could get to an actual jury. Like the process would be streamlined and you would, at 8 o'clock in the morning, you could start court instead of spending all morning trying to get to court.
So,
thank you. That's my stand.
Okay. Yeah. So again, if we're talking about professional jurors and don't go anywhere, I want to talk to you guys. On hold. You said nobody wants to do jury duty. Kimmy, you said that you have seen people that want to do jury duty. Could you describe those people, please?
They were women, I would say over the age of 60.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been on multiple juries before in their lives.
If you had to venture a guess, and we're just guessing, why do you think those women wanted to be on those juries?
Just wanted to know what was going on.
Okay. Maybe they're looking for a dangerous husband.
I think it was one of those things where they found it interesting. I think they were like intrigued by, you know, kind of getting information that nobody else had.
And they like judging.
Okay, so that's just it. No, that first part, I understand.
Yeah.
The second part, like what your dad said, fry them all for all I care. Oh, yeah. There are people that want to get on those juries just to sit and go guilty.
Right, but my system would weed all that out.
Impossible.
No, we'd have a mix of those.
Uh-huh. No, you can't have those.
And we'd have a mix of nice people.
Okay. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Stacey. Hey, Stace, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Stacey, what do you got?
So, the employer has to pay the first 3 days, and then after that, the court system pays you.
Okay, wait. So, if I have 4 days worth of jury duty, I would pick up the money that I'm getting, what I normally get paid, and then I would only make $40 a day after that, and my job doesn't have to pay me anymore?
No, they don't have to pay you your regular salary. They just pay you the $40 per day.
Wait, how does that? That's not fair.
I know. And the price hasn't gone up.
Wait, say that again?
The amount hasn't gone up in years.
Yeah, 98 is the last time they adjusted it.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Stacey,
so,
that being
for
said.
For example, one of my employees was supposed to be on jury duty. She had to call every day last week. And they kept turning her down, but she would have had to use her vacation time to get her full 8 hours pay.
All right. Stacey, that being said, do you enjoy jury duty or do you dread jury duty?
I actually experienced it last summer and I was really surprised. My ex-husband is a cop and I knew the DA and I knew one of the witnesses for the defense and they still picked me.
She committed the crime. They still picked her. Yeah, it was insane.
You ain't kidding.
Dear Lord, were you... What, were they sitting on your lap when they... How do you still get picked?
I don't know. I have no idea why I still got picked, but you can't just walk in and say, you know, I don't want to be here. I don't like cops. Everybody's guilty. They don't want to offer that stuff anymore.
All right. I mean, Stacey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
It is funny all those things they tell you can say to get you out of it, and I've never heard of that actually working for anybody.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, there were some things where even if it was going to get me out of it,
you wouldn't say it aloud.
No one's saying that in open court.
But I'm even saying more like they're like, oh, if you do that for a living, if that's your job, they'll automatically eliminate you. And that was not the case at all.
Well, like it used to be that just having these jobs automatically got us out, right? Because we deal with news every day. We have people that are reaching out to us all the time. Sandy, who works down the hall, was sat on a jury.
Really?
And she talked about it vaguely. Not talking about the case, on the air. This was a couple years ago. And the judge brought her in, admonished her, but didn't throw her off the jury.
So she stayed on.
She was on the jury.
So I knew back in the day, comics, because we were all on the road,
yeah,
we get these summons, and they just blew them off.
Which
and
is
I don't know if they got arrested.
Which is weird, because you never made $40 a show in your life.
So I don't know if those guys got arrested when they went home, or if they got like a speeding ticket, and it was flagged at you. Because what happens if you just ignore it?
Kimmy, will you Google what happens when you ignore jury duty in New York State?
I'm assuming you're in trouble once you if you get something else happens to you.
Wow, thanks a lot.
No, because we're
out
of town.
Are you a lawyer? I'm assuming you get in trouble and something
else
happens
to you. You
know
what I mean? If you get a ticket and that shows up.
I don't know. Well, a bench warrant is what you're talking about.
I don't think they're sending the cops to your house to drag you out of the house for jury duty.
You mean a bench warrant? Where they're not going to send the cops to your house, but if you get pulled over?
I thought a bench warrant is that they don't come to your house.
That's what I...
Wait. What are you saying?
Never mind.
Ignoring jury duty can result in civil or criminal penalties.
So fine
If you don't respond to a summons or show up for jury duty, it seems like you'll keep receiving one for a different date. And if you continue to ignore it, you may face a fine of $250, contempt of court.
Ooh,
you may also be required to perform community service. There's like a long list of things that could happen.
So no jail.
You know what's funny?
What?
Like, you know, she says the $250 fine. If she would have stopped there, I might trade that.
All right.
I'll give you $250 and not have to
come. Or just buy yourself, take a buyout.
Yeah.
All right.
Which would be totally not fair. But I don't want to go. It's where the community service shows up, where it's like now... it's the same amount of time I'm investing in that.
Yeah,
as
so you
opposed
might as
to
well
like the
go.
Jury duties.
And you're outside. Yeah, you may get run over.
You're outside. At least I got the sun on my shoulders with my big old orange garbage bag. Oh, yeah, Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF or the Break Room Facebook page. This comes in from Al. Al says, Duffy, once again, you've crapped on Tommy's brilliant take. Full-time juror is a brilliant idea.
Ah, see, it's catching.
All you would have to do is throw out jurors that were showing obvious bias. How do you do that?
You did a test. You test people. They do it in the NFL all the time. Don't they give you a test to see if you're crazy?
What are you talking about?
What's that test they give all the NFL players?
The concussion test?
No, it's
the
like
Wonderlic
a, no.
test. That's to yes. measure how smart you are, not if you're crazy.
Well, it would probably show you if you're crazy with your Wonderlic. You got the aptitude.
Okay, we were asking what happens if you ignore jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
Pete's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Petey, how are you, buddy?
Good. I actually got, you know how they send you out the jury questionnaires before you actually get the jury summons?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was getting those for like probably the past couple of years. I sent to my mom's house where I hadn't lived in over 12 years. Now, the funniest part was I actually got called in during within those like 12 years that I wasn't living there. So I got like a letter saying it was going to be like a $1,000 fine and I could go to jail if I didn't send it in.
So you can go to jail.
And that was just a questionnaire.
Yeah. Yes, it was just a questionnaire. So I had to call in, and then I had to like show them like I hadn't lived at that house in 12 years, that I currently own my house, and then they finally found out that I was already called in within those 12 years, and it was just a whole process, which just never made any sense.
Hey, okay, so don't do what Tommy said. Just ignore it.
No, don't ignore it.
All right, Petey, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Well, there's one brilliant idea, right. But I'm sure your second brilliant idea would absolutely work. Look, you can't bitch about this anymore.
Why?
Because it's you and people like you that are spending this money for this kind of stuff. And
okay.
Kimmy, we should have realized this years ago. Because no one our age has this kind of extra coin to spend frivolously the way these people are.
All right. What are they buying?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. All right, Tommy.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, a world record was set for the most expensive action figure ever sold at auction.
Wow.
So I'm going to give you a background on this thing, and if you are a nerd, you'll be familiar with this story. Boba Fett, you know Boba Fett?
Boba Fett?
Boba Fett.
No, Boba I don't know what that is.
The guy with the helmet?
I don't know what you're talking
Star
about.
Star Wars?
I know Star Wars.
Okay, he's a Star Wars action figure.
All right.
Back in 1979, Kenner made a Boba Fett rocket-firing prototype action figure.
Okay.
The problem was, as soon as they made it, the thing like fired a little rocket out of there. They were worried that kids would be hurt or choke on the projectile.
I lost an eye.
So despite the fact that a handful of these were made, and when I say handful, I mean very few.
So limited edition.
They were never sold. They never were supposed to make it out of the factory. Problem was, I have it right here. 100 of these were ever produced, period. Even fewer are believed to exist today. But a bunch of people that worked at Mattel and Kenner stuck them in their pockets, and walked out the door with them.
Oh, my God.
Now, they didn't know what they'd be worth,
okay.
But you know what Star Wars toys go for now. So, I will ask you this question. It was auctioned off over the weekend. It has set a world record for most expensive action figure ever sold. How much did the Boba Fett prototype action figure sell for this weekend?
Well, I'm guessing with all these jerks with the money, right?
All these jerks with the money, yeah.
And it's limited edition?
Sure.
I'm going to say...
$2,500
for a little toy, plastic.
Kim, you want to take a shot?
It's got to be six figures.
Six figures? What? No, there's no way.
$150,000. Okay, are those our guesses?
I mean, this is like the one of the biggest fan bases, and then you add collectors on top of that. Yeah, it's got to be up there.
The Boba Fett action figure,
yeah.
The best condition anyone's ever seen one in, sold for $1.34 million.
Oh my God, you can buy 10 Ferraris.
Bro, it's...
used.
It's like 5 inches tall. It's like 5 inches tall.
They spent $1 million on this piece.
$1.34 million.
You never get your money back.
At auction. Well, you say that. It's funny, because you always say this. You never get your money back. This one that they have was sold a couple years ago for $525,000.
Yeah,
so whoever had that,
all right, so that's it.
More than doubled their money.
But that's it.
In that period of time, having this Boba Fett action figure. And here, allow me to stand back and let you do the thing you always do with these stories where you crap on the person who bought this Boba Fett.
Well, because you're wasting your money.
Wasting your money. These people are stupid. Bunch of hipsters, ass bitches.
So let's say you're my age, because you think it's a guy my age.
Oh, I'm positive it's a guy your
age. All right, so a 65-year-old man just sank my kid's inheritance into this little toy.
Okay.
I'm not even going to be around for the payoff. If the average lifespan is 76,
okay,
and I croak, the kids will get it. What did you get out of it?
Maybe they didn't want it for the money. Maybe they wanted it to own
it. Just look at it.
Well, they probably have a collection of Star Wars.
I would imagine
figures.
This isn't your only.
I can't imagine paying $1 million just to look at something.
Oh, $1.34 million.
Right. Unless it's a boat or something wicked ass cool, like a Ferrari.
Okay.
Even what would you do with it?
Well, I mean, this would go on display with the rest of your Star Wars collection, I would assume. I mean, this person has to be a pretty hardcore collector. I don't think you have one Boba Fett action figure.
But you're also a successful person.
Yeah.
To have that kind of coin.
Yes.
To piss away in something so stupid.
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't add up to me.
Okay. Well, then why don't you go yell at all of the guys that you grew up with? Because these are apps. First of all, when did Star Wars action figures come out? 79. So how old were you?
So I was out of high school, so I was 20.
Okay, so this wasn't really your thing, but it's not guys too far off.
No, Star Wars was huge when I was a kid. It came out in like... It came out, right out of high school.
When did the action figures come out?
I would assume shortly after that.
Okay. Oh, this is from The Empire Strikes Back, the second movie, that's why.
All right.
What I'm saying is, like, these toys were directed at you, guys your age, right?
Yeah.
Nobody, Kimmy, of Gen X, well, maybe Gen Xers, but, like, millennials and lower don't have this kind of money to spend on an action figure.
I wouldn't think so.
You yell into the void about these stupid young, you have an image in your head of some young hipster. It's always guys like you. When they buy Babe Ruth's autographed baseball, it's a guy like you. When they buy Pete Rose pubes, it's a guy like you. Boba Fett action figure, guy like you.
Wait, they sell PD pubes?
Yeah. You haven't seen him? Then he'll sign him. I'm sorry, I bet on my pubes.
Because do you think part of it has to be, like, I had that toy as a kid? You know what I mean? Like, a part of it could be a memory thing for that person.
Yeah, I think that's...
It'd be like me buying G.I. Joes and Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
So I think there's a double aspect of it. I'm getting back what I had, and it brings me joy. And it's also the fact that I have it and you don't.
Right.
Like, this is, I mean, it's the rarest toy available.
Okay. And you own it.
It would kill you, though. I don't know how... collectors of those things, if they really, really love Star Wars, they really, really love that toy for whatever reason, like how they can keep it in the... Like, you wouldn't want to, like, hold it or touch it.
So this one doesn't come in a package because they were never packaged?
Well, right, but I mean, like, some of the other ones that people will buy where it's worth more if it's in the package, you keep it in the package because you don't want anything to happen to it. Like, I don't know how they have that self-control.
I got a bunch of stuff still in the package at home. Starting lineup action figures.
Yeah, because what are you gonna do?
But doesn't it bug you? Like you don't. There hasn't been one where you didn't want. You weren't dying to open it up.
I do kind of want to play with it, but my dad instilled in me that I should keep it in the package because it made it a better collectible.
I will say this: it would be hard if I collected it and I have a grandkid that wants to play with it,
right?
Because they don't understand.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So my grandmother died when I was like 5, 6 years old.
Yeah,
my mom, my father's mother.
Yeah.
And we were going through the house, cleaning stuff out, whatever. And I found this batting helmet, a Yankees batting helmet.
Oh, sweet.
That was still in, like, the plastic bag.
Thank you, Dead Granny.
Awesome. So I rip it open, and I put it down, and I run downstairs to show my dad what I found. And he flipped out. Because apparently, he got that Yankees batting helmet in, like, 1978. Mm. And a trip to Yankee
That's
Stadium.
That's a Thurman Munson hat.
It could be. Well, maybe.
No, it would have been around that time.
No, you're right. And he had been keeping it in the package in this room, and I opened it and ruined it. And, like, bro, I'm like six.
I don't know.
But he was.
I know. That has to happen a lot, though, with dads and sons and sporting stuff that kids just don't know about.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. So, like, Kimmy, you bring up a good point. As we talk about this Boba Fett action figure, a prototype, it sold for the astronomical price of $1.34 million over the weekend. It's the most expensive toy ever sold. You know, you brought up the idea of getting back what you had as a kid. Star Wars toys, big for guys like you. Mm-hmm. Vinyl has been big for guys like you. Some sports memorabilia. Kimmy, what is our generation eventually going to spend a fortune to get back? Because we had toys that were designed to break in
like
a month.
It's got to be old video games.
Okay, that's a good one. It's already starting to happen.
I know that like people are kicking themselves right now because of the game consoles and games that they've given up that turned out to be, you know, they sold it at a garage sale for like $10 and now it's worth like thousands.
That's a really good one. But outside of that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That would have to be it. It had to be electronics.
Because like, well, like outside of that, even there are some electronics that were big for us when we were kids. Like, Kimmy, you remember Tamagotchis?
Yep.
You remember those?
But they kind of
I remember those
back.
Toys that you had to keep alive.
Yep, digital pets. Yeah. Like Furbies, Beanie Babies. Like, those were the hot things, Tickle
but
Me Elmos.
But it's turning out like Beanie Babies aren't worth that much.
That's what I mean.
I mean.
I don't want them back.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, they came over here in a barge. Like, there's like a billion of them. I will say, if you had, I would think if you had like the first of like the games, like let's say you still had a vintage Atari.
Okay. Mm. Yeah,
what
I'm
would
sure
that be?
I don't know.
A million dollars then?
No. Like it would have to be like a special one. Like they sold a ton of them.
Right. But let's say that are left. If you had one of the first ones and you kept it, like, you never opened it.
Oh, in a box? That's a good question. I don't know.
It had to be worth a fortune.
They still find this stuff in like old stores that were abandoned.
Yeah. Okay. Gotta be good, big money. They have to work, I guess.
Yeah, well, but
everything might be all corroded.
If you open the box, you'll never know if it works. So you sell the box closed.
I mean, unless I'm looking at the wrong thing, it doesn't seem like the original Atari goes for as much as you think it would. Like this one's like $400.
Okay,
which is a lot, but
that's not a big payout.
This is in a box. It may be used
60 years ago.
Yeah,
I remember they said you shouldn't play it because it scratches the screen. From the inside.
Was that a real thing?
That's what they told people. But it's not good for your TV. It scratches the screen.
I love how guys who dads are, don't watch them play video games. It's scratching my screen.
There's little demons in that box.
Okay, so this one's like $1,300.
So,
I don't know
no.
what the difference is.
There's no $1 million payoff.
There could be if it's still in the box somewhere. I don't know.
Right.
But the bottom line is this. You can never again look at Kimmy and I and be like, oh, what are you about spending money on? Because I don't want this Boba Fett and Kimmy don't want this Boba Fett. And it's someone your age. Dumbass.
All right.
Look, you can't bitch about this anymore.
Why?
Because it's you and people like you that are spending this money for this kind of stuff. And
okay.
Kimmy, we should have realized this years ago. Because no one our age has this kind of extra coin to spend frivolously the way these people are.
All right. What are they buying?
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. All right, Tommy.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, a world record was set for the most expensive action figure ever sold at auction.
Wow.
So I'm going to give you a background on this thing, and if you are a nerd, you'll be familiar with this story. Boba Fett, you know Boba Fett?
Boba Fett?
Boba Fett.
No, Boba I don't know what that is.
He's got with the helmet.
I don't know what you're talking
Star
about.
Star Wars?
I know Star Wars.
Okay, he's a Star Wars action figure.
All right.
Back in 1979, Kenner made a Boba Fett rocket-firing prototype action figure.
Okay.
The problem was, as soon as they made it, the thing like fired a little rocket out of there. They were worried that kids would be hurt or choke on the projectile.
I lost an eye.
So despite the fact that a handful of these were made, and when I say handful, I mean very few.
So limited edition.
They were never sold. They never were supposed to make it out of the factory. Problem was, so I have it right here. 100 of these were ever produced, period. Even fewer are believed to exist today. But a bunch of people that worked at Mattel and Kenner.
Yeah.
Stuck them in their pockets and walked out the door with them.
Oh, my God.
Now, they didn't know what they'd be worth,
okay.
But you know what Star Wars toys go for now. So, I will ask you this question. It was auctioned off over the weekend. It has set a world record for most expensive action figure ever sold. How much did the Boba Fett prototype action figures sell for this weekend?
Well, I'm guessing with all these jerks with the money, right?
All these jerks with the money, yeah.
And it's limited edition?
Sure.
I'm going to say
$2,500.
For a little toy? Plastic?
Kimmy, you want to take a shot?
It's got to be six figures.
Six figures? What? No, there's no way.
$150,000.
It's a toy. Okay. Are those our guesses?
I mean, this is like the one of the biggest fan bases. And then you add collectors on top of that. Yeah, it's got to be up there.
The Boba Fett action figure.
Yeah.
The best condition anyone's ever seen one in. Sold for $1.34 million.
Oh, my God. You can buy 10 Ferraris.
Bro, it's...
used.
It's like 5 inches tall. It's like 5 inches tall.
They spent $1 million on
$1.34 million.
You never get your money back
at auction. Well, you say that. It's funny because you always say this. You never get your money back. This one that they have was sold a couple years ago for $525,000.
Yeah.
So whoever had that.
All right. So that's it.
More than doubled their money.
But that's it.
In that period of time, having this Boba Fett action figure. And here, allow me to stand back and let you do the thing you always do with these stories where you crap on the person who bought this Boba Fett.
Well, because you're wasting your money.
Wasting your money. These people are stupid. Bunch of hipsters, ass bitches.
So let's say you're my age because you think it's a guy my age.
Oh, I'm positive it's a guy your age.
All right. So a 65-year-old man just sank my kid's inheritance into this little toy.
Okay.
I'm not even going to be around for the payoff. If the average lifespan is 76,
okay,
and I croak, the kids will get it. What did you get out of it?
Maybe they didn't want it for the money. Maybe they wanted it to own
to just look at it.
Well, they probably have a collection of Star Wars.
I would imagine
figures.
This isn't your only.
I can't imagine paying $1 million just to look at something.
Oh, $1.34 million.
Right. Well, unless it's a boat or something wicked ass cool, like a Ferrari.
Okay.
Even what would you do with it?
Well, I mean, this would go on display with the rest of your Star Wars collection, I would assume. I mean, this person has to be a pretty hardcore collector. I don't think you have one Boba Fett action figure.
But you're also a successful person.
Yeah. You know,
to have that kind of coin.
Yes.
To piss away in something so stupid.
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't add up to me.
Okay. Well, then why don't you go yell at all of the guys that you grew up with? Because these are apps. First of all, when did Star Wars action figures come out? 79. So how old were you?
So I was out of high school, so I was 20.
Okay, so this wasn't really your thing, but it's not guys too far off.
No, Star Wars was huge when I was a kid. It came out in like... It came out, right out of high school.
When did the action figures come out?
I would assume shortly after that.
Okay. Oh, this is from The Empire Strikes Back, the second movie, that's why.
All right.
What I'm saying is, like, these toys were directed at you, guys your age, right?
Yeah.
Nobody, Kimmy, of Gen X, well, maybe Gen Xers, but, like, millennials and lower don't have this kind of money to spend on an action figure.
I wouldn't think so.
You yell into the void about these stupid young, you have an image in your head of some young hipster. It's always guys like you. When they buy Babe Ruth's autographed baseball, it's a guy like you. When they buy Pete Rose pubes, it's a guy like you. Boba Fett action figure, guy like you.
Wait, they sell PD pubes?
Yeah. You haven't seen them? Then he'll sign them. I'm sorry, I bet on my pubes.
Because do you think part of it has to be, like, I had that toy as a kid? You know what I mean? Like, a part of it could be a memory thing for that person.
Yeah, I think that's...
It'd be like me buying G.I. Joes and Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
So I think there's a double aspect of it. I'm getting back what I had, and it brings me joy. And it's also the fact that I have it and you don't.
Probably. Right.
Like, this is, I mean, it's the rarest toy available.
Okay. And you own it.
It would kill you, though. I don't know how... collectors of those things, if they really, really love Star Wars, they really, really love that toy for whatever reason, like how they can keep it in the... Like, you wouldn't want to, like, hold it or touch it.
So this one doesn't come in a package because they were never packaged? Well,
right, but I mean, like, some of the other ones that people will buy where it's worth more if it's in the package, you keep it in the package because you don't want anything to happen to it. Like, I don't know how they have that self-control.
I got a bunch of stuff still in the package at home. Starting lineup action figures.
Yeah, because what are you going
to
do?
But doesn't it bug you? Like, you don't, there
don't
hasn't
you
been one where you didn't want, you weren't dying to open it up.
I do kind of want to play with it, but my dad instilled in me that I should keep it in the package because it made it a better collectible.
I will say this. It would be hard if I collected it and I have a grandkid that wants to play with it.
Right.
Because they don't understand.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so my grandmother died when I was like 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
My mom, my father's mother.
Yeah.
And we were going through the house, cleaning stuff out, whatever. And I found this batting helmet, a Yankees batting helmet.
Oh, sweet.
That was still in, like, the plastic bag.
Thank you, Dead Granny.
Awesome. So I rip it open, and I put it down, and I run downstairs to show my dad what I found. And he flipped out. Because apparently, he got that Yankees batting helmet in, like, 1978. Mm. And ooh, a trip to Yankee
That's
Stadium.
That's a Thurman Munson hat.
It could be. Well, maybe.
No, it would have been around that time.
No, you're right. And he had been keeping it in the package in this room, opened it and ruined it. And, like, bro, I'm like six.
I don't know.
But he was...
I know. That has to happen a lot, though, with dads and sons and sporting stuff that kids just don't know about.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. So, like, Kimmy, you bring up a good point. As we talk about this Boba Fett action figure, a prototype, it sold for the... astronomical price of $1.34 million over the weekend. It's the most expensive toy ever sold. You know, you brought up the idea of getting back what you had as a kid. Star Wars toys, big for guys like you. Mm-hmm. Vinyl has been big for guys like you. Some sports memorabilia. Kimmy, what is our generation eventually going to spend a fortune to get back? Because we had toys that were designed to break in
like a month.
It's
got to be old video games.
Okay, that's a good one. It's already starting to happen.
I know that like people are kicking themselves right now because of the game consoles and games that they've given up that turned out to be, you know, they sold it at a garage sale for like $10 and now it's worth like thousands.
That's a really good one. But outside of that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That would have to be it. It had to be electronics.
Because, like, well, like, outside of that, even there are some electronics that were big for us when we were kids. Like, Kimmy, you remember Tamagotchis?
Yep.
You remember those?
But they kind of
I remember those toys that you had to keep alive.
Yep, digital pets. Yeah. Like, Furbies, Beanie Babies. Like, those were the hot things, Tickle
but
Me Elmos.
But it's kind of like Beanie Babies aren't worth that much.
That's what I mean.
I mean.
I don't want them back.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, they came over here in a barge. Like, there's like a billion of them. I will say, if you had, I would think if you had like the first of like the games, like let's say you still had a vintage Atari.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, what I'm would sure that be?
I don't know.
$1 million then?
No. Like it would have to be like a special one. Like they sold a ton of them.
Right. But let's say that are left. If you had one of the first ones and you kept it, you never opened it.
Oh, in a box? That's a good question. I don't know.
It had to be worth a fortune.
They still find this stuff in like old stores that were abandoned.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, big money. They have to work, I guess.
Yeah, well, but
everything might be all corroded.
If you open the box, you'll never know if it works. So you sell the box closed.
I mean, unless I'm looking at the wrong thing, it doesn't seem like the original Atari goes for as much as you think it would. Like this one's like $400.
Okay,
which is a lot, but
that's not a big payout.
This is in a box. It may be used
60 years ago.
Yeah,
I remember they said you shouldn't play it because it scratches the screen. From the inside.
Was that a real thing?
That's what they told people. But it's not good for your TV. It scratches the screen.
I love how guys your dad say, don't watch him play video games. It's scratching my screen.
There's little demons in that box.
Okay, so this one's like $1,300.
So
I don't
no.
know what the difference is.
There's no $1 million payoff.
There could be if it's still in the box somewhere. I don't know.
Right.
But the bottom line is this. You can never again look at Kimmy and I and be like, oh, what are you going to spend your money on? Because I don't want this Boba Fett and Kimmy don't want this Boba Fett. And it's someone your age. Dumbass.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.